Our scripture for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Again, that's Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. So I want you to hear now the words of Christ. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. In preparing for sermons, sometimes odd things come out to me, and one of them, that, well, it's not so odd, it's just different depending on the week. And so this week, a song, or a hymn, came out to me, and so I want to share it with you. That's the third and fourth verses of "God of Grace and God of Glory." "Cure thy children's worrying madness, bend our pride to thy control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Save us from weak resignation to the evils we deplore. Let the search for thy salvation be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving thee whom we adore. Serving thee whom we adore." I've been thinking a lot about Christ curing our warring madness, right? And I think we've all been, you know, focused on the news coverage coming out of Ukraine, and we've seen this firsthand, the effects of war, right? We've seen people huddled together in bus stations and subway stations in order to be safe, children fleeing miles and miles to try to find safety, everyday folks joining up military service to try to defend their homes. And we're reminded that when we study in history, we study wars as though there's something that happened at a distance. And that in reality, whenever a nation takes up arms against another nation, it's never a distant thing. It's a up close, and it's suffering, and it's hunger, and it's blood, and it's death of loved ones, right? And no matter how just the cause or anything, that the human toll is immense. And as we look at the world right now, we see the hot war that's going on there. But that's by far not the only place where conflict is simmering, right? We see how many places that our nation has our military deployed into different places, right? We had a 15 to 20 year thing in Afghanistan, right? Was it a war? Was it not, right? We go back and forth on these kind of definitions to justify things. And yet, people are getting shot, people are dying, all these sorts of things. And we live in a world where those sorts of things just become commonplace, right? The idea that, you know, well, I'm glad, and I'll be honest with you, I've had these thoughts before when I see a news report and something awful's happening somewhere far across the world. I'll say, boy, I'm so, thank God that's not happening here, right? And I realize that's not a worthy thing for me to think, right? And yet, I'm glad that my family is safe and the people that I love are safe. That's a worthy thing. But the idea that, oh, it's okay if it happens to them, but not okay if it happens to me, right? And I look at that and I wonder how many times Jesus looks at our world and weeps like he does here in this scripture. He's on the way to Jerusalem and he's on the hill, the mountain, outside of the holy city. And I can picture it really well because I've been to there's a church that is there, and it's intended to be the place where Jesus weeps over the city. And it's got this amazing view of the historic city of Jerusalem. And you can see the Dome of the Rock and the walls and everything. And it's just amazing and beautiful. And it reminds me that Jesus, when he came and crested that hill, he wasn't thinking, wow, what a beautiful place. He was thinking about all the sadness and all the pain and all the suffering that happened in that place, right? He doesn't say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, right? There was a fella in a church I used to serve, and he would sing this song. And I can't remember all the words to it, and I wish I had looked it up. But it went something that was like, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Do you remember that one? All I remember is it's a soaring singing of Jerusalem, and it's about this like hope of the future new Jerusalem, and it's a beautiful song. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to it. You almost can take what Jonah, the prophet, expects out of Nineveh, and that's what happens in Jerusalem, right? Jesus is looking at the city that is supposed to be the place where God lives, right? The temple is there. There's the supposed to be God's throne sitting there right in the back of the temple. And it's the place where you come on your pilgrimage in order to worship. It's the place that should be the most holy, the most wonderful, the most blessed city in the world. And what is it famous for? For killing God's messengers. And it makes me wonder if the people in Jerusalem had not gotten a little bit like the those of us described in God of Grace and God of Glory. Shame our wanton, selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. I think Jerusalem was rich in things. There were a lot of people there who were following King Herod. They were okay with the fact that he was an imposter as long as it lined their pocketbooks. There were a lot of people there who were making a whole lot of money off of the stuff that went on in the temple, right? Jesus hasn't gotten there yet, but he's about to knock over their tables and run them out with a whip. There were a lot of people who were okay with things the way they were, which meant the people of God being subjugated, being ruled by a foreign power, and not being able to worship the way that they should. They were okay with that because it worked for them. They had the money that they needed. They had the power that they wanted, and it was okay. I wonder how often I make those compromises in my own life. How often do I say, I see something that's unjust, something that's wrong, something that's contrary to the will of God, and I say to myself, yeah, but my 401k is growing, right? But look at the stock market, right? What if I'm just as guilty as the people in Jerusalem who stoned the prophets? And I wonder how many times in my daily life Jesus looks at me from the hill and weeps and says, how I have longed to gather you under my wing. This is an image of Jesus looking at the people of Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which was the most powerful city in the nation of Israel, right? It was the capital. It was the seat of power. This is where everything happened. It was the holy city. It was on top of the hill. Songs were written about it. People came there. They marched to where? Where are we marching to in the song? We're marching to Zion. What's on Zion? Jerusalem, right? That's where are we marching? We're marching there because it's the center of everything. And it's so important. And the people there had gotten so wrapped up in how important they were that they missed God coming into the world. I don't think it's any coincidence that Jesus is born in the middle of nowhere, right? Born in Bethlehem. Now, it's prophesied in the Old Testament, so that's probably why it happens there, okay? But why not Jerusalem? Why not at the palace? Why not in a place where everybody could see? Why over in Bethlehem? Because the people in Jerusalem never would have noticed. They didn't have room for another baby. They didn't have room for God's work to come into this world in a powerful way. And so Jesus is born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth, way out in the country. And he does most of his ministry where? Way out in the country around the Sea of Galilee. Because nobody in Jerusalem is going to listen to somebody without four PhDs after their name and without the proper rabbinical credits and without a whole bunch of money and without billboards and without four books to their name, right? That's what they needed. They needed somebody who was powerful and rich and famous and all of that. When Jesus comes into town, he's riding what? A donkey. He's not in the limo. He's not in the bulletproof SUV. He's not even in the Pope Mobile. He's on a donkey. And this is the Jesus who looks at Jerusalem and mourns for what it could be. When we become so powerful and so up in ourselves, so wonderful and so knowledgeable and so great, then we forget that we are one people in need of God's love. We forget that we can't, as the song says, we can't do our salvation on our own, that we need grace. And we forget and get offended by the very idea that we should be like chicks under the wings of Christ. Now, how many of you have ever raised chickens? Anybody? What is it about chickens? Yeah. Are chickens very smart? Chicks, particularly? No. When we used to raise chicks, the biggest thing that you had to do with chicks was make sure they didn't find a way to kill themselves. Because they were really good at going somewhere where something would eat them. They were really good at going somewhere where they could get stepped on. They were really good at going somewhere where they could freeze. You had to lock them up and you had to block them in and you had to keep them from getting out because they weren't very smart. And what does it mean for us that Jesus' image that he gives us of what he would like to do with Jerusalem is to gather them under his wings? Keep them safe. Keep them warm, right? Isn't that why the mother hen does that, right? Gathers them under the wings to keep them warm on a day like today. Those chicks don't have enough of the padding that we have to keep themselves warm. They have that little downy feathers. They don't do anything. Mama has good extra layers to protect and can cover them with her wings and make like a little heated tent for them. It's amazing how God has provided those sorts of things. And Jesus looks at the city of Jerusalem and says, I've longed to gather you to myself. And Jesus, the male guy who comes, right? Supposed to be powerful, supposed to be the Messiah, supposed to be the one that kicks out the Romans. He looks at Jerusalem and he doesn't say, how I have longed to kick out the invaders, how I have longed to go through your streets with the sword and take out the people that are evil and wrong. No, I have longed to gather you under my wings. This is a female image for our Creator who sustains and gives us hope and gives us love and protects us. But if we are chicks that decide that we're too important and we know too much and we can do everything on our own, then we run away from the mother hen and we make our own decision to take the cold on our own. And then the consequences are our own. I wonder how many times we as a nation, myself, our families, choose the cold of this world and the comfort of money or power over the warmth of Jesus Christ? How often have we decided that we are too important, too big, too strong, too knowledgeable, too smart to be those chicks gathered under Jesus' wing? What I've been convicted by reading this scripture as I've prepared to preach is that I need to be reminded, to be humbled, to remember that I am one of those chicks. That when I gather under the wings of Christ, then I am safe. That it's not in the amount of money I have saved that I can count my security. That it's not in my retirement account, that it's not in my house or the roof that's over my head, that it's not in how smart I am or how much I've read, it's not in whether I'm right or wrong in the arguments that swirl over our heads, it's not in my political party, it's not in my affiliation, it's not in my family, but what gives me my security is closeness to Christ. And the closer I am to Christ, the warmer I am. The more likely I am to be able to withstand the cold and the storms of this life. And if you're a chick, you can't hurt anything, right? Now, you might be able to pick somebody or something, but you're little. You might be able to make a little nick, a little nip. But you're not taking over the world that way. You're not hurting other people that way. You're soft and you're fuzzy and you're weak. Reminding ourselves that we are chicks under the wings of Christ. What if we said, hey, I'm going to lay down my burdens down by the riverside because I can't hold a sword, because Jesus is the one that fights my battles. What if I say I don't need that shield anymore because it's way too big for me. I just have these little chicken wings. And my job is to stick close to the mother hen. What if our world gathered close to Christ? I have a hunch that all of these struggles, all of these arguments, all of this fighting that we continually engage in because we are stronger and we are better and we are this and we are that and they're wrong and they're this and they're bad and all this stuff, if you're cuddled up under mama, you're not concerned about that. I encourage you to take this week in Lent to focus on how you can be closer to Christ. Not in all the things that you can do and all the boxes that you can check off and all the practices that you can do and all the books that you can read and on down the line, but instead, how can I nuzzle up close to the one who provides me the life that I need? Under the wings of Christ, all of those concerns of the world no longer matter. The chicken beside you might be a different color chicken. It might even be a chicken from a different mama. But it's still getting warmed up by the Savior. We all can gather under the wings of Christ. May we all have the humility to know that we belong there. May we feel safe under the wings of Christ. And may we be ready to serve and to love, not to gum out, not to get warmed up so that we can come out swinging, but get warmed up so that we can share that warmth with others. Amen.